I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, the final hour is late night. Whenever the Twins have those really, really long baseball games, late night gets shortened up a little bit. Hey, I got no complaints. The Twins won tonight, and we beat the Yankees too. So I'm feeling good right now. So we got one final hour to talk Vikings football, maybe get back to the Twins a little bit later, but I definitely want to start it off with Vikings football here to start off the 12 o'clock hour, because training camp starts tomorrow. So we're all going to be hanging out in Eagan for the next few weeks, just watching the guys grind and battle it out and get themselves in shape and get prepared for the regular season. Okay, and I'm like most people out there, because most of the fans and most of the listening audience right now, you're saying, okay, let's just hurry up and get through the preseason and training camp and all that. Let's get to the games that matter. Let's get to the first weekend in September. And I'm with you, but it all starts tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to being out there at TCO Performance Center. Me and Mike Max and some others, Steve Thompson, Eric Nelson, a bunch of people at WCCO to cover Vikings football this season. And when I think about Vikings football this season, I actually have – I don't want to say it's exactly the same take as I had for Twins baseball coming into this year, but it is somewhat similar. Okay, it's not exactly the same, because I feel like – the Twins and what they have the ability to do in the AL Central is a lot more in terms of being the team to beat in this division, as opposed to the Minnesota Vikings being the team to beat in the NFC North. Now, going into this season, or going into the preseason, okay, and then when we go from the preseason into the regular season, who's the hot team that everybody's in love with right now? Everybody is in love with the Chicago Bears. So everybody was in love with the Cleveland Indians going into this season, baseball-wise, and the Twins showed up with their A-game and lead the AL Central. I think that the Vikings are going to have a better season than what most people anticipate, just based off the fact that when you look at what transpired for them last year, I think that there are a few things that occurred that we didn't see coming that really hindered their progress. One of the things that I didn't see coming was them regressing defensively. I still feel like the Minnesota Vikings have a top five defense, okay? I feel like they have a top five defense in the National Football League. Last year, at times, a little bit later in the year, they played like a top five defense. But early in the season, that Vikings defense did not play like they had the year before. That same defense that was tops in the league, that got to the NFC Championship game, it was almost like the way that they played in the NFC Championship game, it kind of went over into the regular season last year. And so they weren't as dominant. There were teams that, like that Buffalo game, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. At U.S. Bank Stadium, no less. So I think that they regressed defensively just a tad, and I think they're going to be better this year. There's too much talent defensively for the Vikings to play at the level that they played last year. I think that they will be absolutely better this season. The other thing that just had me scratch my head was the fact that when you look at the upgrade at quarterback, and I don't care what anybody says, Case Keenum is not better than Kirk Cousins. I know that there are a lot of people that were bitter with Kirk, and do I think that Kirk Cousins can play better than what he did last year? Yes. Did he still have a good, solid season numbers-wise? Yes. But the numbers don't matter if you don't make the playoffs. And in some of the big games, he's going to have to play a lot better, especially against the Bears. But the third thing, and it was really something that even myself maybe took for granted, was when you looked at the Minnesota Vikings last season, we all saw how they struggled with the offensive line. Offensive line just was not – they didn't give Kirk time. There weren't many holes for Latavius Murray, who's gone, to run through. And now we got Dalvin Cook. And I think Dalvin Cook's going to have a good year now that he's finally fully healthy. I look for him to have maybe a breakout season. But as much as we look at the expectations last year for Vikings football, the one aspect of the team that underwhelmed and had a huge negative impact on the outcome of the season was that offensive line. And it's been well documented how poorly they played. But I think that the death of Tony Sparano was much more of a loss than any one of us expected. And I didn't really think about it as much. When it occurred and when it happened, you know, we're all sad and we're down about him passing away, and nobody saw that coming, and it just, you know, it just catches you off guard, right? But then when you get into the season, what happens, right? We start diving into football, and we start thinking about fantasy football, and we start looking at stats, and we start diving into who's not doing this and who's not doing that and who's, you know, putting up tremendous stats and just watching the games. But when a coach dies, when somebody passes away, that's much more of a loss that we have to factor that in, that was a big part, I think, looking back on why the offensive line wasn't as good. I mean, think about that for a second. To have a coach pass away just days before training camp starts?
Well, not only
that's devastating.
Well, I mean, he's a coach, but for a lot of these guys, I mean, you hear about the bond that they have with these guys. They look at them like father figures, and for me, not being a professional athlete, you know, kind of seems hyperbolic, but there's a level of respect and trust and confiding in somebody that you feel has really got your best interest, and to have it taken away without any warning and so close to the season. I mean, as a regular person having regular jobs, Henry, when somebody close to us passes away, we can grieve in our own way, but I mean, football players, you're out there in the public eye. You don't have time to grieve. You have to go out there and play football because you're right. The casual fan, we're sad for a moment, but you know what? Then it's out of sight, out of mind.
I think that the death of Tony Sparano was much more of a loss than any one of us expected. And he was a guy that previously had head coaching experience. All right. Let's not forget that. And oftentimes, we think that guys are, and it's almost like we look at them and we think they're robots, and they can just pick up the pieces with no problem. But we know that isn't the case. I mean, there's an emotional toll that comes with losing people that are important to any organization. So in this Star Tribune article, they talk about the loss of Tony Sparano and how it affected the organization last season. And looking back at a quote from Coach Zimmer last January the 3rd, after his season-ending news conference, this is a quote. "Quite honestly, the death of Tony Sparano really kind of threw things into a little bit of a downward spiral. This guy was a type A personality. He was very innovative in the running game, had a strong voice in that room, and had a strong voice with me." So that's Coach Zimmer letting us all know that his guy passing away, like days before the season started, that affected him mightily. And think about this. In the article, they talk about how the week before training camp, Sparano texts Zimmer, "All good, see you Monday," after he had a doctor's visit for chest pain. And then 2 days later, he passed away. That's something that when you look back on it, I don't think that we all know that when somebody passes on, it's going to affect people. It really is. But I think as media members, maybe even as fans, I don't think that we factored in enough from the aspect of it being a situation where you lose a guy that was so important to the coaching staff. He was so important to the head coach, and he was so important to that unit in trying to develop that unit, that was a big reason, I think, why they struggled last year. Heck, Rick Spielman in the article, it was a major impact on this organization, not only from a football perspective, but who he was as a person. So that can't be understated, that was a huge loss. And now that they are a year removed from Tony Sperano's passing, maybe they're going to take that next step and be a better offensive line, knowing that they have a full staff right now, and that you don't have to change things on the fly because of a tragedy like that. I think that that's one of the reasons why this offensive line struggles. Now, clearly, if this offensive line struggles again this season, that will not be something that we'll be looking at and saying, okay, this is the reason why you struggle two consecutive years. That's not something that we'll be writing articles about, because you expect them to learn from the mistakes that they had last year and become a better unit and for them to figure it out. But I really do feel like that's something that should be noted for the record in regards to the struggles that they had. And I think that the offensive line, if they can take a major leap forward, then I don't think that the Bears are the team to beat in this division. I think that automatically the Vikings become the team to beat. If you look at the Packers are always going to have a shot with Aaron Rodgers because he's one of the best in the game at playing quarterback. There's no question about that. The Bears, one of the best defenses in the National Football League. I do question, though, their quarterback. I know that Trubisky is a nice young quarterback, but is he ready for prime time? We'll see. He played okay last year. I thought it was more about the defense than anything last year. That defense put Trubisky in great spots to be successful. But I really do feel like Viking football is going to maybe surprise some people.
I don't think they're
going to regress this year.
You think Vic Fangio going to Denver is going to hurt that Chicago defense a lot?
Maybe it could hurt a little bit, but the reality is they got studs. Like, they got talent. Like, Khalil Mack is Khalil Mack, you know? And whether Fangio's there or not, he's still going to make plays. So maybe from the perspective of the defensive coordinator not being there to put Khalil Mack in the best position to be successful, if that's the case, then, yeah, they'll take a step back. But I just think that they have so many ridiculously talented guys on defense that the Bears are going to have some opportunities to remain relevant in that division. All right, coming up next, could a future Hall of Famer, one of the best athletes in the world, already have lost the award this year for Dad of the Year? I'll explain next year on Late Night. All right, welcome back. Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. What's going on right there? Slightly distracted here at Target Field. And I shouldn't be. There's not a game going on. But I am watching the people as they're kind of, you know, cleaning up and taking care of business. But we'll get back to Twins baseball here in the next segment. Recap what happened here at Target Field. Twins win 8-6 over the Yankees. But this segment, I got to, I saw something earlier today, and it had me thinking. I was like, what's going on here? I don't think that this individual, although I'm a fan of his, I don't think he's going to win Dad of the Year this year. And that would be future Hall of Famer and the best quarterback to ever play in the National Football League, Tom Brady.
Well, you can't criticize Tom Brady.
No. I'm about to do that. I mean, and listen, I called Tom Brady the GOAT before he was the GOAT. I know I saw it clearly. After he won his first Super Bowl, I said to several people, I think that right now we're looking at the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. And they're like, what? And what does he do? he's just proving me right. Every time he goes out there and he wins another Super Bowl, he's just proving me right. But Tom Brady is being criticized. I don't know if you people saw it, but he's being criticized for something that he did just recently. I don't know if it was over the weekend or if it was last week. But the star quarterback on vacation, he's cliff diving with his daughter Vivian, who's six. So as one watches the video, it shows Brady holding his daughter's hand, right? And he's counting down. And he's counting down because he's telling her that they're going to jump together, right? And so he counts down, and then he tells her to jump with him as he's holding her hand. She hesitates slightly, okay? And he kind of pulls her into the jump as they're jumping into the water. They land in the water safely. But I'll be the first to admit it is somewhat scary to watch because it almost looks like his daughter was close to hitting rocks. I'm dead serious. If you haven't, if you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, you can go and you can take a glance at it because Brady's been getting crushed by some people. Okay, and then some people are like, "Well, it's not a big deal," and you know, protecting him and all that. But I think he deserves a little bit of criticism because that was a scary situation. The video actually, it shocked me, and it shocked a lot of people. And even The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he weighed in on it, right? And he wrote on Tom's Instagram, he says, "You know, I have complete faith in you as a man, friend, player, and father, but this just gave me anxiety. Jesus." And he added a laughing, crying emoji, and then two applause emojis. Other people on Instagram, "It looks like he yanked her like a rag doll," said one person. "That was scary. Bad parenting. His daughter almost broke her arm. NFL should consider punishment." This one from @Briz Frog.
That sounds completely rational.
"Bruh, she lucky she didn't hit rock." I'm going to ask you, Chris, and you are a father. I am not a father.
Yes.
But you are a father. You watched the video. What were your thoughts on it?
I had anxiety watching because she was close. But
yes.
I understand that. Like, my daughter just turned 9. And if we were to do that, I mean, it scared the
– His daughter's 6.
I know. And to think about that and just to think, like, how young and – I'll say how fragile she is, but I mean, she's still, I mean, you know, it does, it's not going to take much for one of those bones to snap.
No. If she hits rock, no. We're talking about something more serious than a broken arm. Like, if you jump off a cliff and you hit a rock, I mean, you could die.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, we're talking about a broken, that was just the scary part of it to me because it did look like she was really close to hitting the rock. And I'm just trying to put myself in those shoes. If I was in a situation where I did something from a recreation standpoint with my child, my young child, and they were injured or harmed significantly, I don't know how I'd ever be able to live with myself. That's life-changing, right?
Oh, absolutely, it's life-changing. And to me, I'm trying to, as a parent, try not to think about worst-case scenario. Try to think about what could possibly happen, but then also try and flip the optimistic side. It could have been really, really bad. But to me, I think these people that are looking at it from the outside saying, "Well, oh, the NFL's got to suspend him. The NFL."
No. Yeah,
come on, guys. I mean, I understand there's Patriot hate. And believe me, rightfully so, there's Patriot hate. But at the end of the day, I mean, you take it, if it's not Tom Brady, if it's any other average Joe, are we making as big a deal out of it? Or because it's Tom Brady, that it seems like he's almost above this. It's like Tom Brady.
No. If it was you, I would be crushing you.
Oh, and rightfully so. But see, I don't have the stones to do something like that. I wouldn't. I don't know that I would go cliff jumping, let alone with my kid in tow.
And look, I'm a Tom Brady fan, have been for years. But that was scary to watch. If you just go to the Instagram page or if you just do a Google search and you look at it, That was a little bit too close for comfort, at least for my liking. Just a little bit too close for comfort for Tom Brady. My goodness, man. Be careful, man. Yeah, you're like days away from training camp or weeks away from training camp. You know, that video might be like a week old or maybe a couple of weeks old, but it was just released over the weekend. So that's a little bit scary stuff.
And who would have taken Tom Brady for being the risk taker?
I know, right?
Out of all of the other players, I mean, you name all the other quarterbacks in the NFL.
You think he doesn't take risk?
Well, no. I mean, when you're out there and you're doing those sort of things with your family, Tom Brady just strikes me as more just the conservative. I'm not going to put my family in any danger. We're going to have fun, but we're not going to do anything outrageous.
See, I'm not sure about that. Didn't he run with the Bulls years ago?
But did his kids run with the Bulls?
No, not. I'm not saying yeah. No, I'm not. Yeah. No, he would never have his kids do that. He'd be a real rebel then. He's like running in the street with his kid on his shoulders. Come run after me, Bull.
It's part of that TB12 plan.
Oh, my goodness.
Brand new cardio by TB12.
All right, coming up next, we get back to Twins baseball and what transpired here tonight at Target Field. Twins win 8-6. We got the highlights. We'll get to that next year on Lake Night. It was a fun night here at Target Field. Henry Lake, Lake Night, here on News Talk A30 WCCO. The Twins get the victory tonight, 8-6 over the New York Yankees. A bunch of home runs hit for both teams. We hit more, score more runs, and we're the better team down the stretch. But as we recap this game and we just get to a couple of specific plays and we hear from Lewis Thorpe, it was a lot of fun to not only see the offensive firepower from the Twins again. Because remember, we had the stretch where the Twins weren't hitting as many home runs because you know how we get spoiled? The Twins are hitting all these home runs or what do we call them? Bombas, right? The Bomba Squad. They had hit so many home runs at such a clip that we got so used to it. So then when the home runs weren't really, you know, still going at that rate, we said, what's wrong with the offense? What's wrong with these guys? Nothing wrong with them. You're not going to continue on a pace like that the entire season. Well, tonight they broke out the lumber. They really did. Because you had Mitch Garver hit a couple of home runs. You had Polanco hit a home run. You had Nelson Cruz hit a home run. You had Max Kepler, who's on a tear right now, hitting a home run. So you had a bunch of guys really step up. But arguably the play of the game, though. I'm not going to even say arguably. It was the play of the game. The play of the game occurred in the first inning, top of the first. Martin Perez is, well, struggling. Runners on first and second. Nobody out. And, well, Edwin Encarnacion, he's at the plate. And, you know, he loves to hit home runs, right? And he does that little, I don't know if you've seen his little celebration where it's like he's got like a parrot or something on his arm and the little flap down and everything. And he's hit a few home runs here. Well, he grounds into, a triple play. Luis Arraez made a spectacular play. And here it is. The first triple play in Target Field history. Luis is just, he's a player, man. This guy, his feel for the game, not just his quality at bats, but just in the field, he's a player. Rocco said he's a player, and he's one of those guys. Rocco said it. You probably saw him at the age of 11, and he's out there, and he just is on another level as opposed to everybody else because he just has that feel for the game. And clearly what we've seen from this rookie this season, you just have to love everything about him. Shortly thereafter, the Twins said it's going to be a Bomba type of night, and it started with Jorge Polanco. All right, so that was Polanco, but then can we go back-to-back? Nelson Cruz, he wanted to. Number 20 for the boomstick. Nelson Cruz, man, the reputation that he had coming into the season, I said it's going to be fun to watch a guy that we can anticipate will hit home runs, and he's absolutely coming through for Twins fans, and he's not letting anybody down. Because there's a lot of times that there's guys you bring into the organization and you anticipate that they'll hit home runs and showcase that power, and it doesn't always come to fruition. No, that's not been the case with Nelson Cruz. He's been stepping up big time for this team and this organization. Later in the game, after you had Martin Perez exit and Tyler Duffy was in for an inning, you had Lewis Thorpe come into the ballgame. And we know that the bullpen has been struggling as of late. And you're anticipating this young kid getting his first real, like, you know, bullpen opportunity, first relief opportunity. What is he going to give you against the big bad Yankees? First couple of batters looked a little shaky, double right off the bat. He ends up giving up a run in that sixth inning. But then he settled down. And you could just tell the way that he pitched that he was really getting confident. Really getting confident. And in the seventh inning, he did a number on Aaron Hicks. Nice inning for Thorpe. And you could just really tell that the kid was fired up at that point. He gives you two-thirds innings, four hits given up, one earned run, no walks, two strikeouts on 39 pitches. And he got the win. So props to Lewis Thorpe. He got the win tonight. This is Thorpe on the emotion of being in the game tonight. Lewis Thorpe, you know who he sounds like? He sounds like Surfer Dude.
Yes, he does.
He does. He sounds like Surfer Guy. He does.
I think wasn't he the voice of the turtle in Finding Nemo? Yo, dude, man, it was just rad, man. You know, came in and pitched to, you know, Aaron Judge, man. Dude, it was awesome. Is it sad that I've already got more faith in Lewis Thorpe than I do anybody outside of Taylor Rogers?
Oh, why are you being negative?
No, man, I'm trying to, it's like something, I need something to hold on to other than going the old Jerry Tarkanian, like the towel in the mouth when somebody comes into the bullpen. It's like, his very small sample size, he didn't look like he was overmatched tonight. That was big.
Hey, look, do me a favor, because I got to have some fun with this.
Okay.
Play the soundbite one more time of Lewis Thorpe. I'm trying to pinpoint who he sounds like. Play it one more time for me. Tell me that's not Jeff Spicoli, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Tell me it's not.
It could be.
That's Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I'm telling you right now. That's Lewis Thorpe. He was a badass tonight. That was a lot of fun. But overall, Twins win 8-6. We're back at it tomorrow night. Kyle Gibson on the mound for the Minnesota Twins. All right, coming up next, final segment. We get to today's top headlines. We do that next year on Late Night on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, it's time for today's top headlines featuring Chris Tubbs. What up, Chris?
How you doing, Henry?
I'm doing good, man.
Well,
I'm doing good.
You are doing probably not as well as little Kenneth. Did you hear about this one? There was a 2-year-old Minnesota boy who was reported missing. He was quickly found at a county fair. Nothing more Minnesota than going to the county fair. After making the trek in his toy tractor, this according to his family on Saturday, little Kenneth was riding around in his yard in his John Deere tractor Thursday night when he remembered that the Chisago County Fair was just a mere 2 blocks away, and his mom, Lynn Allen, had promised him earlier in the week that he'd get to go there with his grandfather, but Kenneth apparently couldn't wait until his grandfather was going to take him to the fair. According to his mom, he said he was riding a tractor around the yard, and usually he just stays in the yard. All of a sudden, it's pretty quiet, and I know being a parent, when things are quiet, that's when you know something's up.
When it got a little bit too quiet, the parents started to get a little bit like, oh, I don't know where's Kenneth? And he's no longer in the front yard. So where did Kenneth go? Kenneth went down the street to the damn county fair.
I love it.
I mean, you're talking about taking things in your own hands. What was this little kid? He had his mind made up. He said, I'm not waiting on Grandpa. I'm going to the fair right now.
Have you ever been to some of these, county fairs, man? When I was growing up in, Marshall and Redwood Falls, I mean, going to the Lyon County Fair or the Redwood County Fair, man, you got to get there early to get good parking. We know what that's like, so good on Kenneth.
But
good on little Kenneth.
Yeah, but but the parents weren't feeling good. They called 911. Fortunately for them, the sheriff's office said it was one of the first calls they received at the start of the event. He drove down the frontage road at our house and drove around the parking lot and must have followed people right into the fair. Little Kenneth, this dude is off the chain. Imagine him in 10 years. He's going to take the family car.
Man, he knows exactly where he's going. All kidding aside, very fortunate, very lucky that he was okay at 2 years old.
Absolutely, yeah. He fortunate that he was okay, and it is a funny story to hear about, but we're happy that Kenneth is safe and sound.
Absolutely. Well, we know that we've all had to deal with that heat wave over the last few days. Well, apparently thousands of people in New York City and Michigan are still without power as of tonight. In the Big Apple, almost 22,000 consumers have no electricity, though the lights and the air conditioning are expected to go live by earlier today. 14,000 of these people are in Brooklyn, one of the major boroughs in New York City. The electricity went out late Sunday afternoon, just before dark, because a lot of people were just, this air conditioning, they were just using high frequency. And fortunately for people in the Big Apple and in Detroit, that because of the break in the heat, I think they're going to get a little bit of a reprieve as well.
Man, this is insane. It's almost like a little bit reminiscent of, and you weren't here this past winter, but they said when we had the whole, like, when it got super cold here, what they call it, the polar vortex or whatever.
Yeah, I saw that.
They said, I think it was Xcel Energy Center, stated that people needed to watch the temperature that they put their heat on and scale it back a little bit, because if you overused it, then we could have a situation where, you know, we could have an issue where some people aren't going to be able to get heat. Think about that in the heart of winter. And that's exactly. So fortunately, things didn't go bad for Xcel Energy Center, but I remember that occurred, and man, that was something else.
Well, apparently Aquaman is, you know, maybe he's a little bit of a softy. Jason Momoa, for those Game of Thrones fans, they remember him from season one as well, got a little emotional when celebrating his daughter's upcoming birthday, but it didn't have anything to do with the fact that his little girl is growing up. Over the weekend, he and his wife, Lisa Bonet, threw a birthday party for their daughter's 12th birthday, and they treated her and her friends to a screening of The Lion King, and he went on to praise the remake, admitted that he'd been so moved by the film that he cried, quote, numerous times.
See, this is going to be interesting. Are you going to take your daughter to The Lion King?
Yes. I told my wife and my daughter, I was texting my wife today. I'm like, because they went to see Toy Story 4. I'm like, okay, you can see anything, but if you see The Lion King without me, we're going to have to have an intervention. But they've agreed to wait on The Lion King.
The reason why I asked that is because it's kind of like there's been some mixed reviews on it. Like, some people, like, loved it, and then some people said, not really all that great. So it'll be interesting, at least for me, to get the review from you about how good or not good The Lion King is this time around.
I love the Aladdin cartoon more than the live action, but I'm really looking forward to the live action Lion King. I mean, this might be one of the most anticipated things for me, because I get to share that with my daughter, and to me that's pretty cool.
Nice.
All right, finally, Equifax, and we know how important credit is, Henry, to, you know, to people our age. I mean, credit reporting agency Equifax, they've reached a deal to pay up to $700 million to state and federal regulators to settle probes stemming from a data breach that exposed personal information to nearly 150 million people. I mean, these were Social Security numbers. I mean, there were just so many things. Driver's license. I mean, this is a bad, bad deal for Equifax.
I honestly don't think the number is high enough. Like, the numbers, like, people's information getting out there, and they've reached a deal to pay $700 million? No. They should be paying more than that. We're talking about 150 million people being affected by this.
I mean,
the number should be higher.
Well, you figure about 700 million for what they're calling the largest hack in U.S. history. Name, Social Security numbers, driver's license, addresses. This is, I mean, I can understand where Equifax.
But they're going to pay $425 million to compensate affected people with the credit service that they have, right? $425. You affected 150 million people. So what, is everybody going to get just a couple of dollars? You got to be kidding me.
And for everybody that's had their credit affected, or you've been through identity theft,
Yeah,
I mean it's a pain in the neck to try and get everything back. It is a huge hassle.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Have you ever had to deal with it, Henry?
I have not. Knock on wood.
Man, I had one thing where somebody
maybe I don't have all the information yet. Maybe I don't know. I mean we've all utilized these services before with Equifax and everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean I've never heard of anything from like a TransUnion as well, because I think it's like TransUnion and yep. Equifax, aren't they the two big ones?
And I think Experian's the other one. Yep. So,
man,
not cool.
No, not cool at all.
All right, what is cool is that the Twins won tonight, and it was an awesome game. Can we just have another game like this tomorrow night? I hope so.
I'm for it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. We'll be back here right after the Twins game with Final Pitch and then Late Night tomorrow night on News Talk 830 WCCO. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow night. Peace.